We heard that last week with the story of Nicodemus, a Pharisee. And perhaps the most famous and familiar New Testament verses in the Bible, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. End quote. Today's story shows how Jesus puts these words into practical application. He not only says he has come for the world, he goes across a border to a group who is shunned by his family, his neighbors, his social group, and his nation. And he eats and drinks and stays with them. And he doesn't have to go far to find them. They are on the direct route between Galilee and Jerusalem. In fact, most travelers between those two regions would go out of their way to take an indirect route to avoid them. So why the Jews avoided the Samaritans is complicated. In the time of Jesus, the Israelites were judgmental about Samaritans based on a long history. It all started approximately 800 years before Jesus was born. The Assyrians conquered the northern 10 tribes of Israel. The Assyrian theory of conquest was to intermix peoples that they had conquered. They sent the conquered Jews away to far territories and imported non-Jews into the area we know as Samaria. As a result, the Samaritans were a group of people of mixed ethnicity who could no longer claim to be fully Jews. They might be what we in our culture have shamefully called half-breeds, or what H.K. Rowling in the popular Harry Potter series has the evil followers of Voldemort call mudbloods. Unfortunately, humankind has been all too ready to judge and label others, and even those who have done nothing wrong, other than not choosing better parents. With them, they had no choice. They had nothing wrong with them other than who their parents are. And so, as we can see, the hatred between Jews and Palestinians, even today, the Assyrians were far too successful with their social engineering. They created conquered territory with subjects who could not get along with each other and therefore unlikely to get together on rebelling against their Assyrian overlords. Note that the Samaritans, like the Jews, worshipped Yahweh. When the Babylonians conquered both the Assyrians and the Judeans, the southern tribes of Israel, they destroyed the temple in Jerusalem and sent many of the Jews to Babylon. The Samaritans, who were left behind by the Babylonians, began to worship Yahweh on Mount Gerizim. When the Jews returned from exile, the Samaritans offered to help the Jews rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. The Jews refused. Later in 128 BC, a Jewish army destroyed the Samaritans' worship site on Mount Gerizim. Even to this day, the two people do not agree. The Samaritans even have their own version of the Torah, which you can find on Amazon. Even with this animosity, Jesus sits down at a public meeting place with a woman who Jews would avoid and shun. Not only would Jews shun this woman, but Samaritans who followed a version of the Torah would also shun her, as shown by the fact that she's going to the well at a time of day when most were not there. But Jesus was there. Jesus spoke to her despite the fact that Jews shunned Samaritans. Jesus spoke to her despite the fact that men did not speak to women in public. Jesus spoke to her despite the fact that Jewish rabbis did not teach women. Jesus was stepping across all sorts of barriers established by the religious culture of their day. And all is not well with our religious culture either. We draw lines that put members of the world that God loves on the outside as well. Who are we to shun those whom God loves? Are we not to follow the lead of our Lord and Savior, who was willing to sit down with a Samaritan woman at the well? Unfortunately, church people are often viewed as judgmental and prejudiced. All Christians are labeled by the behavior of the worst of us. If someone doesn't agree with some of the most visible, hating Christians, the dissenters are labeled as in league with Satan or going to hell. Because of the actions of a few Christians, all Christians are labeled as people who separate themselves from others based on prejudice. Unfortunately, many unchurched people in the United States say they do not go to church because church people are too judgmental. According to the Pew Foundation, quote, across all religious upbringings, roughly 3/4 of those who have become unaffiliated with the church say religious people tend to be hypocritical and judgmental rather than sincere and forgiving. And most of these, including 55% of those raised Catholic and 53% of those raised Protestant, cite this as one of the reasons they've become unaffiliated, end quote. Indeed, the church has been too judgmental about who's in league with Satan and who's going to hell. Too judgmental about who is saved and who is not. Too judgmental about so many things. Jesus told us to feed his sheep, not judge them. Judgment is up to God, not up to us. All of us are sinners. It is not up to us to rank sins. Who goes to heaven is up to God, not up to us. That's what the doctrine of predestination is all about. The doctrine says that God is sovereign and chooses who will spend eternity with God. Double predestination is the flip side of that doctrine, which says that God also chooses who goes to hell. Either way, we are not in the judging business. We are called to be in the loving business, leaving judgment to God. Our way to counteract the misperception of all Christians as judgmental is to be loving Christians, that the loving Christians that Jesus modeled. Jesus, who was in a position to judge, chose to love instead. As I say every Sunday, who's in a position to judge? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ, God's Son, met with the woman at the well openly and offered her living water of salvation. Likewise, Jesus offers all of us, unworthy as we are, the living water of salvation. Jesus sat down with someone who the culture would have said had three strikes against her. She was a hated Samaritan. She was a woman. She was a sinner. Rather than walling her out, Jesus sat down with her and her whole town, and many of them became Christians. The descendants of these people are present-day Christian Palestinians. May all of us gratefully accept the living water of eternal life and extend it to others. May all of us worship God in spirit and in truth, that we may leave behind the judgmental ways that separate us. Amen. Having heard